This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Sea turtles will be coming ashore to nest in the next month or two. We'll have a preview of what you can do to make their journey a little easier. Plus, we'll learn about a new Medicare card that helps combat identity theft. We'll learn all about that a little later in the show. But first, a new Florida beer launched last Friday. But the brew is not only for beer lovers, it's also for butterflies. Bartram's Blonde Beer gets its name from the Bartram's Scrub Hairstreak Butterfly, which is a federally endangered species. And under the Endangered Species Act of 1972, to get that severe of a marker, a species has to be at risk of complete extinction. The unique method of environmentalism via brewing was made possible through a partnership between Gainesville-based First Magnitude Brewing Company and the Florida Museum of Natural History at the University of Florida. John Denny is the founder and head brewer of First Magnitude. He joins us now. Hi, John. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're also joined by Dr. Jarrett Daniels, who is the program director at the Natural History Museum's McGuire Center for Lepidoptera and Biodiversity. Lepidoptera is the order that includes butterflies and moths. Dr. Daniels, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And did I pronounce that correctly?
You did.
Lepidoptera. That's a tough one. We are talking about saving the endangered Bartram's Scrub Hairstreak Butterfly by drinking, or at least buying, a new Florida beer by its same name. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Dr. Daniels, with a name like that, what does the Bartram's Scrub Hairstreak Butterfly look like?
It's a small gray butterfly with a very distinct kind of orange patch on the hind wing. It's probably only a little larger than your thumb in size, and it occurs only in extreme South Florida in a very specialized habitat called pine rocklands.
What are pine rocklands? How would you describe that type of a habitat? And is there a lot of that?
So it's a habitat dominated by limestone on the base and a kind of a pine overstory, but it's a very rich ecosystem with a lot of palms and shrubs and flowering plants, and it's an incredibly globally endangered system. There, within Florida, there's less than 1.5% of that habitat remaining. So it, along with the creatures that inhabit that habitat, are very special to Florida and also very threatened by continued development.
So that particular kind of habitat is threatened by development. Are there any other animals that are wholly dependent on that kind of habitat?
Yes, that habitat is home to a number of endemic animals and plants, and it also is home to another federally endangered butterfly called the Florida leafwing.
So how long has the scrub hairstreak, how long has he been endangered?
Just a few years. It was listed just a few years ago, but it's been declining for decades. And it's probably one of the most imperiled insects in the state of Florida. And this subspecies is only found within Florida. So if it eventually goes the road of extinction, it's lost forever. And we certainly don't want that to happen in the Sunshine State.
How many of them are left in the wild right now? Do we know?
Not really, but it's extremely restricted to just a few locations in Miami-Dade County within Everglades National Park and within the Key Deer National Wildlife Refuge. So it's really down to just islands of habitat, both in the Florida Keys and on the Florida mainland. So that's really the biggest challenge, is how to maintain those populations through time and keep them stable and hopefully increasing into the future.
So what initially caused this drop in population, did you say, was that mainly all development?
Yes, yeah, since pine rockland is an upland habitat, it's a prime area for a lot of human development. So much of that habitat was lost over the last century due to the development of the greater Miami area and surrounding South Florida. So it's a really beautiful, very unique habitat, and it's one that's, I think, if people get a chance to go out and actually see, it's incredibly attractive to walk through, and like I said, a lot of endemic, very specialized plants and animals occur within that system.
So it's kind of like that highland area where it would be easier to build upon.
Yes, correct.
So it's attractive also for builders.
A little bit further above sea level, yes.
Yeah. How many other endangered butterfly species are there in Florida?
There are four federally endangered butterflies, the Bartram Scrub Hairstreak, Florida Leafwing, Chausa's Swallowtail, and the Miami Blue. But there are probably up to 30 species of butterflies in Florida that are very much at risk. They're not quite at that threshold to be listed federally, but they're declining, and we also want to keep those species safe and sound as well.
Uh-huh. So do all these endangered butterfly species differ in behavior from the others, or is their endangerment more just to do with the circumstance of their habitat?
It's a little more due to the circumstance of their habitat. Many of these species occur in very specialized systems, which either historically were pretty localized and uncommon, or due to development, especially in South Florida, there's a few kind of natural areas left, and those are kind of islands of habitat. So these species have suffered through time.
Yeah. We're talking about the saving the endangered Bartram's Scrub Hairstreak butterfly by drinking, or at least buying, a new Florida beer by its same name. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And again, on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So, Dr. Daniels, the Bartram's Scrub Hairstreak butterfly is endangered and has been endangered. But then here comes First Magnitude Brewing Company. I hear the partnership was your idea, so walk me through how beer first met butterfly.
Well, we've known First Magnitude for some time. It's a great company in Gainesville, has a very focused community engagement message. They've done a lot for environmental awareness, so it seemed like a natural partnership, and it's been a fantastic collaboration from day one. And we just really wanted to raise awareness about butterflies in general and some of these endangered species, and what better than sort of a social event, an opportunity to have a beer, save a butterfly, you know, get a little bit of information out and reach a different demographic than we normally would that comes directly to the Florida Museum of Natural History.
It is definitely a crossover. John, I want to turn to you now. Why did you decide to get involved with this effort?
Well, we love working with the Florida Museum, and we take our children to the Bluff Doctor Center there. It's an amazing place. It's absolutely beautiful. And so when we first heard about this opportunity for a partnership, we really just jumped on it. And this is actually our fifth collaboration beer with the Florida Museum. And I'm hearing that Leafwing, maybe that could be the sixth.
Leafwing? So is it so that you said this is not the first time you've partnered? Were they all butterfly beers before?
They're all butterfly beers. Yeah, it's been over the course of about a year now that we've had these launches that call attention to these different species that the Florida Museum is doing research on, and we're very happy to help spread the word, and we've had a lot of fun learning about the butterflies ourselves.
So how do you pair up a flavor profile to a given butterfly? Is it kind of looks, or is it habitat that you go with as you're trying to figure out if you want to do a blonde ale or a light lager?
Well, sometimes it's not even as complicated as that. We love alliteration, and our first collaboration beer was the Chausa Stout. And we had an American stout that we really liked, and Chausa Stout just seemed to sound good, and that was our first collaboration beer, and it turned out very well. With the Bartram's Blonde, this is a very small butterfly, as Dr. Daniels described, and so we wanted something very light and delicate, so we started with Vega, which is our blonde ale, which is a very crisp, light, easy drinker, and then we modified the hop bill to use a type of hop that we had never used before, only experimented with. They're called the Rao hops, and they impart kind of a fruity, herbal, I get almost a white grape kind of taste out of them. So it gave our blonde ale a new dimension, and we thought, well, hey, this is going to be a good one to get out there. So we brewed up the Bartram's Blonde and have it available now in cans and in drafts.
It's got to be so fun, you know, finding a different source of inspiration. It's kind of like being an artist.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing that drew me to brewing is it's an amazing mixture of art and science. And it's really fun. It's a great industry to be a part of. And when you can do something like this and call attention to an endangered species and the great work that our friends are doing at the Florida Museum, it's even better.
So Bartram's Blonde Beer is on tap then at the brewery in Gainesville?
It is, yeah. We have it on draft here. We have some limited release cans that are available as well. And the cans are gray, just like the butterfly, and really highlight that orange patch on the wing. The museum has helped us with the design of these cans. And one thing that we have absolutely loved, that's been a lot of fun for our guests, is the folks at the museum have helped us in developing the labels for these cans, and they use a type of software called Libraries of Life. They use this at the museum for their different exhibits, and you use the camera on your cell phone, and you look at this icon that's on the beer can, and a three-dimensional butterfly will appear on the screen of your phone and will tell you even more information about the butterfly. So it's really, really cool. Not sure if it's the first augmented reality beer can, but I would say certainly the first one in Florida.
That is so cool. You know, I've seen that on a certain wine label. There's one wine label that kind of does that with the app on the phone, but I've never heard of that on the beer. And how cool to have the information about the butterfly, additional information, and then the 3D effect.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really an amazing thing to look at.
How long do you keep this available? How long are you going to have the cans available, and how are you going to keep it on tap? How long, for a few months?
Well, the cans are a very limited release, so they won't be around for too long. But the Bartram's Blonde, we really like it, and I think that we will have it again. Actually, right now, our second collaboration was the Miami Blue Helles Bock. We have brought that one back, and that one is on tap again here at the brewery. So we've been real pleased with it so far, and it's got a good response from our guests here at the brewery. So it'll be around for a little while, but I have a feeling that we'll eventually bring this one back.
Well, that's part of that desire to create new things all the time. You're always going to have to rotate, right, John? So for those of us that are not in Gainesville, where else can people get this Bartram's Blonde beer?
Well, next week we will be sending some down to Orlando to Nomad's Lounge. That's in the Animal Kingdom there on the Disney property. And they have been great in highlighting these butterfly beers at Nomad's Lounge there in the Animal Kingdom.
Okay, great. And then how much in the way of proceeds are going to be making their way to help with the butterfly recovery?
Well, you mentioned earlier we had the launch here on Friday where people were able to make donations. They would get wristbands for discounts on beer. We had a great Pilsner glass with the Bartram's icon on it. And some of the proceeds from the sales and distribution and here at the brewery are going to be going back to the museum to promote this research, this important research that they continue to do.
What a fun project. So, Dr. Daniels, besides buying beer, is there anything that Everyday Joes can do in South Florida to help try to protect this species?
This is a hard one because it's so habitat limited, but I think just becoming aware that there are these really rare species around you and putting a name to the organism, I think, matters. I mean, it's all about awareness, and that was another reason for this collaboration with First Magnitude, is we just need to let people know that are new to Florida or maybe have been here for a long time and never heard of these species. As soon as they start becoming aware, a whole new world opens to them. So it's as much about raising the funds to help with the research and the restoration as much as it is about just raising awareness, because this is a battle for extinction, for preventing extinction, that we all are a part of. And just, learning a little bit about the species goes a long way to being an advocate for it.
Yeah, once you know it, then you want to fight to keep it around. We just have a little bit of time left. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Daniels, has the McGuire Center looked at all into the effects of these recent wildfires? Have they had any impact on any of these endangered butterflies?
Certainly some of the larger wildfires are a real concern, because many of these species now exist in such very small population areas that one catastrophic event, a wildfire, a hurricane, extended drought, can be the tipping point to send them on the road to extinction. So the goal of much of what we're trying to do is work with agencies and other organizations and partners to learn more about the species, to work on the conservation, to expand the range of these organisms so that one catastrophic event won't be the death blow to that organism. So just give them more flexibility in their environment over a broader geographic range, and that's the best we can really do.
Is there any effort to have any Bartram scrub hair streaks kind of in captivity just in case you have one of these catastrophic events?
It's been discussed, and with two of the other species that John mentioned, the Shouse's swallowtail and the Miami blue, we do have populations in captivity at the Florida Museum of Natural History. And if you come and visit, you can see those live organisms through our windows to our laboratory. And those are for research, for an assurance population should something happen to the wild population, and also to build up numbers in captivity that will eventually be used to for reintroduction to expand the range and to beef up the numbers in the wild. So we're trying to, you know, be as aggressive as we can, working with our partners, and it is sort of an all-hands-on-deck approach, and that's why these unique collaborations with First Magnitude, they're just so important that we have to look at all options to raise awareness and to raise funds to help these species.
Yeah. Well, that's all the time that we have for this part of the show, but I want to thank my guest, Dr. Jarrett Daniels, the Program Director at the Florida Museum of Natural History's McGuire Center for Lepidoptera and Biodiversity. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I also want to thank John Denny, the founder and head brewer at First Magnitude Brewing Company in Gainesville. What a great project. Thank you so much for talking with us about it, John Denny.
It was fun to be here. Thanks.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll check in with a biologist who's surveying Key Waden Island to make sure the beaches are ready to greet nesting sea turtles, and we'll learn more about recent red tide numbers and how those are impacting our marine reptiles. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.